Issues Etc. surpassed more than 6.4 million downloads during 2021. You can help us reach more listeners this year. Subscribe, rate, and review Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit the subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc. Old theology, new technology. Subscribe, rate, and review Issues Etc. today.
If I ever write this letter, all the pages I could write.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's time to go through listener email and the Issues Etc. listener comment line. Our email address is talkback@issuesetc.org and the Issues Etc. comment line 618-223-8382.
Coming off that excellent teaching by Dr. Jeff Leininger at Concordia University Chicago on vocations, thanks to Jim Kaczynski there at Concordia University Chicago. You know who I'm talking about, Todd.
Oh, yeah. We could not do a conference without Jim.
Yes. So here's a guy you've probably never heard of before. You know, he doesn't write a book and get to do an interview or host a podcast or radio show, but Jim is on the other end, getting Dr. Leininger set up in the studio, giving us a high-quality interview. A great example of Christian vocation.
And that's the end that the listener doesn't get to see a lot of times, where it's who's the guy at Concordia Fort Wayne, John Elmer.
John Elmer, right.
There are people who are making sure that our guests get to where they need to be, in the chair, mic on, working. They're coming in sometimes during COVID. They were coming in specially, traveling in to make sure that Dr. Just was in the studio and had the door open and he had everything working for him. And that's all happening behind the scenes, in addition to what happens here behind the scenes, for just one interview to happen. And it happens every single day. It happens every single day here. Those people who are, their names don't get mentioned. I was noticing this, Jeff, the other day, that I listened to National Public Radio, have for years and years and years, and every one of their big feature shows ends with a long list of all the contributors to this thing. Every producer, every intern gets mentioned. They all get credits at the end. We don't do that. We probably should occasionally do that, because there are a lot of people working to make sure that the guest is where they need to be, and that it sounds as good as it does. It's not just us. You're right.
So a shout out to Jim Kaczynski and all those people behind the scenes, like Lord Feichtinger. Although he has, since we have a new studio, he does have his own microphone now.
Right.
He's a happy man. I'm glad to be here.
Hey, I wanted to say something. Todd, how many times do we have to hear during these email segments, I listen to National Public Radio?
Every single time. I'm contractually obligated to mention that.
Yes,
I'm waiting for the email from the listener who says, I can't believe he listens to National Public Radio.
All right. Hey, you're right. I do have my own mic, and I do certainly appreciate it. I enjoy being a part of these segments.
But even if you weren't, Craig, you'd still be serving your neighbor in love.
Making sure little Frankie has baby food.
Absolutely.
He's off baby food, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
He
eats like a horse. He's eating regular table food. So,
making sure little Frankie gets his smoked meats and all the things that...
Little Frankie's going to be a big boy. I'm neither a prophet nor a son of a prophet, but I'm just betting little Frankie's going to be a big boy. He's going to be Scott Gherkin-esque.
But you know, he even when he's full grown, he's still going to be little Frankie.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's the only boy and he's the youngest, right? So it'll always be little Frankie.
Sure.
Well, plus Craig's older brother is Frankie. So he'll probably always be little Frankie. But again, Jim Kaczynski, thank you. And Todd and I sleep better during our annual Making the Case conferences because Jim Kaczynski and his staff take care of all the little technical stuff that we don't have to worry about.
And they're completely ready for us when we get there. I've never worked with people like this before. When we get there, they are ready for us. They're more ready than we are when we get there.
Speaking of the conference, because I know I'm getting emailed that since I mentioned it, I shouldn't have mentioned it. Friday, June 24th, Saturday, June 25th at Concordia University, Chicago. registration is not open. We're still waiting to schedule two more speakers. So far, we have, as we mentioned before, Dr. Albert Moeller, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, Dr. Joel Bierman, and Pastor Chris Roseborough. We're still looking for two more speakers. I won't get your hopes up on who those people might be, but once we book those two speakers, hopefully here before the end of the month, because we really should be promoting the conference right now. If we had a better general manager, this would have been done months ago. Anyway, Friday, June 24th, Saturday, June 25th, Concordia University of Chicago. It's going to be sold out, so you better register soon.
Absolutely.
All right, email. Nathan writes, 10 years ago, this show was my lifeline during my time at a Baptist college. I could count on every segment pointing to Christ and Him crucified. Lately, however, I've noticed that y'all are taking on a political character that I don't think is productive on a show about biblical theology. Perhaps Pastor Wilkin needs to start a separate radio show where he can talk about policy to his heart's content. For example, I listened to a segment about election integrity with Molly Hemingway. It is perfectly fine to have disagreements about these political issues. To present one viewpoint on something that is not clearly in Scripture, particularly on a theological show, implies that there is no debate and that Fox News is normative for the average Lutheran. What does election law have to do with Christ and Him crucified? What does it even have to do with the Ten Commandments? Thanks for the feedback and thanks for listening, Nathan.
Those are all legitimate concerns, I think. I do want to correct a few things factually. First of all, I've been doing this show for 20 plus years, 20, maybe 25, I don't know. And there's never been a time when every segment was theological. Never. It's always been issues, et cetera. It's always been the two things, the illogical postmodern worldview. We should probably update that because postmodernism, maybe we should say woke worldview now. And it's always been issues theological. So it's always been both of those things, kind of the two kingdoms, the right hand and the left hand kingdom. And so there's never been a time when every segment was focused on Christ and Him crucified. When it was theological, when we were dealing with those things, then certainly it was. But when we were talking about something of, for lack of a better word, a secular nature, we just talked about that subject. So I want to correct that factually. And I don't think that there's a big difference between what someone might infer from a conversation with Molly Hemingway, what it was implied by the conversation with Molly Hemingway. People are completely free. And the fact that we're reading your email demonstrates this, to disagree with Molly on any number of subjects and disagree with her view of the elections or whatever it was. So the fact that we're reading your email shows that we certainly do think that these things are up for debate. There is no doubt about that. I have read Molly's book, Rigged. I thought it was unbelievably researched and footnoted. She has done her homework, so she's an expert in that subject of election integrity. That's what we talked to her about it. And it was a top-of-mind issue because everyone is talking about election integrity. Yesterday afternoon, the president spent a lot of time, the better part of his almost two-hour press conference, talking about election integrity. So it was a timely issue as well. Now you say, what does it have to do with the Ten Commandments? The Eighth Commandment. Christians ought to want the truth to prevail. And if we have dishonest elections, then that means that the truth is not prevailing. Someone's breaking the Eighth Commandment. It has everything to do with not bearing false witness. So I think it firmly stands under one of God's commands that Christians ought to want to see kept not only in their own lives, but in the world in general. We don't want people lying. When people lie, the world is a worse place for it. I can't say that I agree with everything that Molly wrote in that book, but man, she backed it up.
Cord writes, I've noticed a pattern on your podcast in which Molly Hemingway is the frequent guest commentator on the topics of politics and current events. Please be aware that she is highly partisan in her views and perspectives, unabashedly Republican, and all that it entails. My question for you is, why don't you provide a more diverse range of perspectives in terms of the commentators you feature on the program? The reason why I express concern regarding your programming is that biblical truth tells us all have been born into sin. Christ died for all sinners. As a brother in Christ, I caution you against suggesting otherwise, concludes Cord.
I'm not sure where that conversation with Molly, we suggested that not all have been born into sin are in need of Christ. I don't think we implied that any place. Nor did we imply that there aren't problems on both sides of the political aisle. In fact, we had Molly on precisely to discuss an article that she had written saying that her own party, the Republican Party, needs to pay more attention to election integrity. She said they've dropped the ball. So she was taking issue with her own party, especially leaders in Washington on that very issue. But nowhere did we even mention, much less imply, that there are people out there who aren't sinful or that they don't need Christ.
And Molly is not a GOP party loyalist.
I honestly don't know.
She is not. I mean, well, no, you can't say that because those are one of the reasons she broke President Trump early on when other people, the party didn't want anything to do with him, myself included.
Right. When I say I don't know exactly what her political views are at any given moment. I don't pay that close attention. But to me, she definitely doesn't seem like a party line person. I mean, a party line person doesn't say our leadership in Washington isn't paying enough attention to election integrity.
One more email regarding election integrity and Molly Hemingway. John writes, did Pastor Wilken on the January 14th podcast of election integrity, I believe you suggest the Democrats stole the election. Was this a mistake? Dear Pastor Wilken, I believe your listeners are already aware of the problem of Joe Biden, the Democrats, but many of them have been deceived by the Republican Party. The best way to fix this problem is for you and the right-leaning media to focus more on the failures of the Republicans so that these problems can be identified and corrected. Thanks for the email. Thanks for listening, John.
To correct the record, no, I didn't say that the election was stolen. I don't believe the election was stolen. I believe that the election was legal. It was legitimate. I was probably one of the first people after President Biden was elected to say he is our president. Do I like the fact that he's our president? No, but he is our president. He's duly elected. That doesn't mean that there weren't problems with the election, but none that would rise to the level of saying, and this is the whole point that Molly makes in her book, there are problems with this election that need to be addressed. They wouldn't have changed the outcome of this. Maybe they would. It was sheer speculation, but what happened there was not so much ballot stuffing or all those kinds of things, but really a concerted effort on the part of big tech and big media to control what people heard and said, especially in social media and in all the other media. That's the big thesis of her book. So I don't believe anybody stole the election. I'm distressed to hear any president, be it President Trump or President Biden, imply that our elections are somehow illegitimate. Because, first of all, it's a dangerous thing to say. And second of all, it's untrue. Jeff, you worked as a election monkey. What do they call them when you used to do
election
that?
Election judges.
Election judge. Okay, it's all different kinds of
They're
people.
They're all rigged. Completely rigged. No, I'm just teasing. No, but
there are shenanigans everywhere.
Yes,
on
exactly,
both sides,
exactly.
As there usually are. But by and large, either they're going to balance themselves out. But by and large, you're going to walk in there. You're not going to find. You got to live with these people, right? The people who are walking in to vote are the people when you're sitting at that table.
No, not necessarily. So
you're telling me you cheated when you were an election judge?
No. You don't have to be an election judge. They need bodies, right? And both parties are trying to get people there to make sure it's fair and balanced, right? So I would get sent to Democratic strongholds. So I would go to Namioke Township in Granite City, even though I live in Eversole, which is, at that time, union workers hated anything with Republicans, right? Or I'd be sent to more inner city, Madison, Illinois, or Venice, Illinois. I think one of those places is like, you Republican judge? I don't remember last time we've seen one of those around these parts, you know, something to that effect. So, but I'm not saying that the national elections were stolen. I'm just giving you a real life experience of an election judge.
I'm not saying everybody is, that their people are sinless there, but I'm saying that by and large, people want everyone's vote to count, however it comes out. Are there dishonesties? Certainly there are, because we live in a world of sinners and it finds its way into that process as well. But to imply wholesale that our elections are somehow illegitimate, regardless of who makes that that statement, it's not only false, but it's also dangerous as well. So, can we talk about something else on the other side of the break besides election integrity?
I have one more comment on it.
Okay, we'll be right back. Is James' teaching on faith, works, and justification reconcilable with the rest of Scripture? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January is the new Concordia Commentary on James. It's written by Issues Etc. guest Dr. Curtis Giese. The Concordia Commentary on James is published by Concordia Publishing House, their phone number 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. The Concordia Commentary on James, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our feasting on Ephesians with Walk in Love, Discern What Pleases the Lord, Thanks Always, Profound Mystery, and Children and Bondservants. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Unshaken from Psalm 16:8 is the theme for the 44th academic year at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. We engage young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and encouraging spiritual growth. Please help us provide tuition assistance to more students by making a tax-deductible gift at melhs.org and click on the support page. Or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line on this Thursday, January the 20th, and we are taking your feedback on our interview with Molly Hemingway on election integrity.
By the way, we have extra time. We have, like, what, another 25 minutes, Craig, of email comment line? It's a great time if you want to call in now and kill some time for us. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Pastor Wilkin will answer any of your theological-only questions. Full disclosure, Mark and Molly Hemingway are good friends of ours.
For years and years.
More than two decades. Secondly, they're confessional Lutheran journalists in Washington, D.C. There's not a lot of those. I just wanted to lay that out there.
Well, and when it comes to election integrity, Molly has written not only a book, but to date, the book. She and her husband have done unbelievable research into that particular election, and they've crossed all their T's and dotted all their I's, and they have receipts. So they carry some expertise in that particular subject.
I think any Orthodox creedal Christian desires free and fair elections.
Especially given the fact that there's so many Christians who don't enjoy that in the world today.
That's right.
They don't get
it. That's a great point. Matthew writes, yes, the historic reformers did bring five solas for knowledge of God unto life. However, Satan used the time to establish the slavery of today's Calvinism. Limited atonement proceeds from the pit of hell and rebellion. The work of such sedition against the gospel of Christ is wonderfully systemized by you people who will be judged for your lies. It's Matthew.
Who was he listening to?
That's a great question. That's a great question. So I did email Matthew back this afternoon. And what did Matthew say? Hold on. I hope I didn't trash it. Anyway, why don't you respond to the whole limited atonement thing while I look for this email?
The limited atonement is the teaching of Calvinism, not of Lutheranism. It is explicitly rejected by Lutheranism. And it's a teaching that it has various forms, but in a broad brush strokes, it is that when Christ died on the cross, he was not dying for every sinner, for every man, woman, and child born according to the course of nature and descendant from Adam. That death, or the scope of that death, was limited to only some sinners. That is not taught by Scripture. It is explicitly rejected by Lutherans as, I agree with you. I think it's I'm not calling the people who hold it demonic, but the teaching, all false teaching is demonic, and it's a false teaching. And it leads from one error to another in consistent Calvinism to suppose that Jesus doesn't die for everyone. It introduces into the heart of every person who holds that view doubt as to whether or not they are among those for whom he died or didn't die. And there are several ways that Calvinists, perhaps more sensitive to that doubt, have tried to get around the problems created by the error of limited atonement. I dare say the heresy of limited atonement, because it strikes right at the very work of Christ. But they don't work. I mean, they're all kind of trying to nuance away the problem. And the problem is that the teaching itself. So it is a limited atonement that it's in a chicken or egg situation. It's the limited atonement that brings about the notion of double predestination. Or maybe it's the other way around. But it is the of the tulip that is classic Calvinism, total depravity, unconditional grace, limited atonement. It's the place where Calvinism goes off the rails. Total depravity, yes. Unconditional grace, absolutely. Limited atonement, the train just left the tracks. And from that point on, it never gets back on the tracks. The other three points of Calvinism are all a derailed train. So completely rejected. I don't know where, was it Matthew? I don't know where Matthew heard it, but we were not promoting it in any way.
I just responded to Matthew. Lutherans don't believe in limited atonement either. And then he said, I must have trashed it. I apologize, Matthew. He said something like, well, they believe enough of the tulip, so they're only 80% eternally judged as opposed to the Calvinists or 100%.
We don't buy into the whole tulip framework, because it's one thing corrupts another. So limited atonement retroactively destroys whatever is truth is taught in total depravity. And also in unconditional grace, it guts them entirely. So, yes, we do agree with the Calvinists. It's not a sin to agree with the Calvinist when the Calvinist teaches, the Calvinists believe in the Trinity too. So just because Calvinists affirm the Trinity doesn't mean we should reject it. So they teach a total depravity of man. Would we quibble about the nature of that depravity? Perhaps in the details, but broadly speaking, no. And they do teach an unconditional grace or salvation, and that is also something we can affirm narrowly like that. But when it's attached, again, to the errors that begin with the limited atonement, then it, again, leads to all kinds of other errors that need to be rejected.
And again, find out more. An interview you did probably 10 years ago with Kim Riddlebarger, the White Horse Inn, on Lutheranism and Calvinism. Put that in our search engine. Dan in Washington State asked an excellent question. I thought the same thing. He said, is Craig's mic a decaf mic? It sounds weak.
It is weak.
I don't think the mic's weak. I think Craig's pot wasn't up high enough.
Well, that's a possibility, and that's my own fault. But it's not processed either, so that's the part of the difference as to
it's not processed,
why it sounds different.
And the control room has no sound abatement in it. So if we took my mic out into the control room, it would sound very much like that. But both Jeff and I are on mics that are compressed. And we're inside. Jeff is in a room that has all kinds of soundproofing, and I'm in a room that has all kinds of soundproofing.
Here's a behind-the-scenes nugget. Craig, when we're recording interviews, when he turns that mic on to talk to anybody, now granted, this will never go on the air. This isn't live. He clears his throat like a true broadcast professional. Always clears, don't you do, Craig? You always clear your throat. before turning that mic on.
Probably about 95% of the time, yeah.
A true broadcast professional, Craig Feichtinger.
Did we ever determine whether or not that talk back feature that he uses to talk to me that no one else can hear is being heard in there by guests?
No, I don't think we did.
All right. Well, look at the clock. We need to take a break. When we come back, a little bit more listener email, the Issues Etc. comment line. Then we'll be talking with Dr. Curtis Giese in part two of our series on the Book of James.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues Etc. Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the divine service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.
Memoria Press's award-winning Latin programs are designed to teach your student to master Latin grammar through an easy-to-use step-by-step process. By studying Latin, your student will gain an academic vocabulary, a mastery of English grammar, and develop sound critical thinking skills. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next purchase by using the coupon code LPR22. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time. memoriapress.com. Congratulations to newly commissioned Navy Chaplain Candidate Seminarian Ryan Barnett. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces supports all LCMS chaplains who serve on active duty in the Reserves, the National Guard Civil Air Patrol, and the Coast Guard Auxiliary. Find out more about their service at lcms.org/armed forces, serving those who serve, lcms.org/armed forces. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line.
And that call-in number, toll-free number, 877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-MY-IE. We have 15 more minutes to fill. Is that right, Craig? 15 more minutes? 16 more minutes. So we could take a phone call. You can ask the right Reverend Father Todd Wilkin any question you want, be it left-hand kingdom or right-hand kingdom. He can handle them all, because he has for more than 20 years. Mara writes, I'm Mara, M-A-U-R-A. Have you ever met anybody named Mara, M-A-U-R-A?
I have not.
I like that. I'm Mara, and I listened to some of your podcasts for school. Well, thank you for listening. It's a really great podcast that dives into plenty of things I've never thought about. I was wondering why you use the bump music Viva La Vida in your podcast. There's nothing wrong with it. I love that song, and I appreciate hearing it on your podcast, but it was a bit unexpected the first time I heard it. Thank you, and thank you for listening, Mara.
Well, we don't use that bump music anymore. Now, if you listen to an encore or an older program, we did use Viva La Vida for years and years, and now we use something that's proprietary. It sounds kind of like Viva La Vida. The fellow who put it together for us, we said we'd like the same sound, but he made it sound a lot like Viva La Vida, but not Viva La Vida. So, and the reason we first used it for all those years ago, there's really no, absolutely no rhyme or reason to it. We were coming back after having been unceremoniously fired by the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod at the time. And we had a couple months off. That was, you know, courtesy of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod before we came back independently. And I was jogging one night. Jeff says we need to start thinking about some kind of music beds and bump music. And I was jogging one night, and this one just happened to be on my playlist. And I was thinking purely in terms of how much of this can we take that doesn't have lyrics underneath it so that it actually could be a good music bed. And I think I might have sent Jeff an email saying, hey, what do you think about this? And I believe his response was, Beth says it's really good. That was your response. I remember where I was. It was like after dark. I was out running and I'd sent him, and I was listening to this song and I said, what about Viva La Vida? And he said it had Beth's stamp of approval. So I think that's why we went with it, because your wife thought it was a good idea.
I
was chosen purely because it had a lot of music.
I playing for Beth, but that it was perfect bump music. Because you want it's all about the rhythm. You don't want something that just like is too extreme, and you don't want something that's like low energy, Eeyore.
Right, and it had just kind of hit that groove, and there was a lot of it in the song. There was a lot of non. If you go back and listen to those, you can see where Wilkin took like just these little transitions in the song where he wasn't singing and turned them into bigger things. I played a few tricks to turn them into actual. If you actually listen to the song, there are some places where it's really quite different than what ended up being our bump music.
Craig, do you have the old stuff?
You mean
Viva La Vida? If you have it.
I do. I have to find it.
Play. See if you can find that. And we'll play that and compare that to our
current
bump music.
Right, I'll look for it. What I think we should do is like a retro day and go back to a week's worth of like what the bump music was like at the old place.
Typical Feichninger. We need a project done.
The Tootie Horns?
That we're trying to fill right now, that he can find something. And he's got to go down a tangent. Well, he should be looking up this music, because I have no idea what we're going to talk about while we're waiting him to find our old bump music.
Part of it was
he wants to talk about retro day.
Yeah, the old bump music was just annoying, but we were stuck with it. It was...
Was that when we were at our former place?
Well, we had two. We had one for the Sunday Night National Show, which was a kind of trumpet version of A Mighty Fortress. Trumpetish. Not as good as it could have been. But then we also had... Remember that stuff? It was like... bongo drums and toot horns, and I can hear it in my head, but I can't describe it to you.
I can't remember. I know it was bad.
The old bump music?
Yeah, I remember the old bump music, weekday bump music. It was really bad.
It started with a drum beat, boom, and then it went off into some like toot horns and Hammond organs and bongo drums.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
But my philosophy, and it remains this to the day, because one of the mistakes people make when they podcast or do radio is they get really caught up in the bump music. It's just bump music. It's just to get you to the break. It's just a cushion so that Wilkin can talk a little bit before the break, before you hit the break. That's it. That's all it does. It's not there to entertain. It's not there.
But do you recall when we decided to no longer use it?
Oh, yeah.
Viva La Vida. I mean, I thought we were going to get slammed.
And I think it had but even at the time, it had that kind of nostalgic feel that people associated with our cancellation. And they associated it with our return. And so I think that's the association they made with it. And that's why they liked it so much. But
Craig, did you find anything?
He's diligently looking.
I'm sorry. Was I summoned?
Yes. Yes, you were summoned. Did you find it?
Yeah. I've got, I don't have any opens that don't have cuts in them, but I've got some of the old 30-second ins and outs.
Play one of those.
Play one of those. Okay, play one of the bumps that has
the... Now play the open with no tag.
This is our latest one. I actually like the new one better. That one was produced specifically for us. We actually paid for it.
Right.
Unlike Viva La Vida.
And it has that Viva La Vida sound to it. And maybe when people hear it, they think it's still Viva La Vida.
Slow fade. Slow fade. Slow fade.
Well done. Well done.
Craig prides himself on his fades.
Mark and Fenton. I believe that though he may wait, Jesus may return at any moment. I am currently reading Dr. Lewis Brighton's commentary on Revelation. The end of the age sounds much more difficult than what we are currently enduring. I find it difficult not to think Jesus isn't returning soon because the tribulations of Revelation don't appear to have arrived yet. I know I must be wrong. Please help me understand why. Thanks for the excellent email. Thanks for listening. Mark in Fenton, Missouri.
First of all, I can't recommend more highly the late Dr. Lewis Brighton's commentary on the book of Revelation from the Concordia Commentary Series. It's just simply a stunning and very pastoral treatment of the book of Revelation. And he just does a marvelous job. So I commend you for reading that. And I think you are right to say, well, the picture here painted in a right reading of the book of Revelation is pretty dark. Now, remember where you live. I'm assuming you live in the United States. We live in a bubble of insulation, even though Christians are not particularly popular and their populations are waning in the United States. We live in a bubble insulated from how most Christians in the world live, who are undergoing genuine tribulation, who live in places, think about living as a Christian in China, where your life is, at the very least, made exceedingly difficult by the fact that you may be a Christian, or you might even just be a Christian secretly, where the government, if they let you go to church, controls everything you hear in church. So these people are undergoing genuine tribulation. That's just one place where Christianity and Christians are under persecution. There are many places elsewhere in the Middle East, and there are places in Northern Africa. Sad to say, one of the kind of co-birth places of Christianity. So I think they would say the tribulation is upon us. I'm sure they do say that. Well, we kind of live our lives insulated from that. Again, because of the God-given freedoms that we've been graciously granted here for this time and this place in the world. So that depends on your perspective and what you count as persecution. There are more Christians suffering persecution in the world today than there ever have been before. So I would return to your beginning thesis, which is Jesus teaches us that he can come back anytime. So let's just take him at his word. He can come back anytime. There's nothing left on the end times calendar that needs to be fulfilled except the return of Christ.
Oh, really? I thought Iran was supposed to invade Israel. I've been waiting for that.
Yeah. Well, and see, this the problem.
Am I wrong?
The problem with it, looking at it that way, even if it's like, well, the world isn't bad enough yet. Or maybe a couple of years ago, but Donald Trump is president. How could that happen? Taking the attitude that it can't happen now because of the things are too good or things are too bad or this thing hasn't happened takes our eyes off the promise of Jesus. Behold, I come quickly. And he teaches us every time he talks about his return, he emphasizes its suddenness and its unexpectedness and the fact that it comes. He even says, I come like a thief in the night. Completely unexpected, catching you off guard. So one thing we do know, when he comes, we will all be caught off guard to some degree. Christians only in the sense that maybe you weren't thinking about it at the moment, but the world certainly will be completely caught off guard by Christ's return.
You know, if he came in the next 4 minutes, we wouldn't have to vamp and fill to our next guest.
Yeah, I don't think he's too worried about that right now.
Well, I know, because Iran hasn't invaded Israel. I keep telling you that.
He's kidding.
I'm kidding,
he's
folks. Kidding. I'm kidding. Don't send me email. Kristen writes, man, oh man, the short segment with Pastor Feeney on parental regret hit me in the face with a 2x4 when I listened. Talk about cry fest. I always joke with my Lutheran friends that listening to Issues, etc. in the early evening when I make dinner is like the needed pat on the back with comforting gospel I needed after falling all day under the law in my vocations as a mother, wife, and homeschool teacher. Thank you, Pastor Feeney, for the call to set our stinking phones down and be the long view parent. No need to read this weepy email on the air, writes Kristen. Just a thank you to contrast any hate email you get today.
Well, we don't get any hate email. We just get criticism, thoughtful criticism from our many listeners.
We shouldn't say that. We do tend to get a lot of email in Arabic, and we've never had it translated.
Oh, do we?
Oh, yes, yes. So who knows?
Well, okay, then maybe we
I should
do.
Probably decipher those because I can probably figure out when Iran's going to invade Israel, and I know Jesus is coming back.
Yeah. And Pastor Feeney really hit this one out of the park. Because, and this was a great example of how a good pastor preaches to himself before he preaches to anyone else. And that's exactly what he was doing there. He was reflecting in kind of that repentant fashion while he was looking at pictures of his children when they were younger and thinking back to, as a father or a mother can, thinking back to how much of that time, essentially how much of the time with his children that he wasted or he may have spent on himself rather on them. Now, that can become an exercise in sheer regret, or it can become, as Pastor Feeney so aptly said during that conversation, it can become an exercise in Christian repentance, a call to repentance, where we always fall short and we always fail to serve our neighbors, especially our children, the way that we ought to. Even at our best, we're falling short at that. And that is why the comfort lies not in, well, I can't go back and do it again, or maybe I can make up for it somehow, but that the forgiveness that we have in Jesus Christ covers not only those sins for us in terms of you're forgiven of that sin, but as I've often said, God loves our children more than we do. So to realize that where we have fallen short, he does not fall short. Where we have failed, he does not fail. And he is there to care for them, to attend to them, even when we in our best efforts fall short. So I think that's the tremendous comfort that people found with Pastor Feeney. That was part of the reason we talked to him, is because I think he wrote this thing on social media and Jeff saw it circulating all over the place and being shared all over the place. And obviously, as our emailer there and our listener there points out, it's something that not only Pastor Feeney experiences, I have experienced it as well, and every parent has. When we come back, we're going to spend some time in part two of our series on the book of James. Dr. Curtis Giese, author of the New Concordia Commentary on James, will be our guest. Stay tuned. If you appreciate Issues Etc., our 24/7 music and talk stations, and our daily verse-by-verse Bible study, The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, please include a bequest in your will or trust for these worldwide media resources. Bequests aren't subject to federal tax or capital gains taxes. Ensure your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren the opportunity to listen by including a bequest in your will or trust for Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
Modern children's animations often seem to have it out for fathers. They portray them in the worst way. Fathers are the bumbling idiots. They're morons. They don't know what's going on. Is this a godly way to portray those who are responsible for raising us in the fear and instruction of the Lord? Well, if you have that question, you'd like to learn more about this, you need to pick up a January issue of The Lutheran Witness. We talk about fathers, mothers, and so much more. Visit witness.lcms.org to learn more or order your copy at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Often imitated, never equaled. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Pastor Clint Poppe, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Each month we host the Nebraska Lutherans for Confessional Study, a serious study of Lutheran theology. We generally meet on the fourth Thursday of each month from 9:30 to 2:30, and both clergy and laity are invited. There is no charge to attend. For more information, please call the church office or visit our website, goodshepherdlincoln.org, and click on the green NLCS tab.
Every word of Scripture is really just unpacking how the cross of Christ makes everything so different.
Listen to chapel services live weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Because Christ died for you, you are forgiven.